The boxer, the sun is finally rising. Mark Previn feels good. Last night, he watched a boxing match on television. This morning, the weather seems deliciously beautiful. Edith, his official mistress, stayed overnight. She is still sleeping soundly. He lets his imagination wander, constantly returning to the boxing match. Feeling that he has a good subject, he decides to write an article about it for the newspaper. Mark gets up, causing a slight groan of protest from the woman. After a hearty breakfast followed by a good shower, Mark finds himself alone after his mistress leaves. He starts calling to find a boxing club. Finally, after a few minutes, he finds a club that agrees to put him in touch with a professional boxer. He makes an appointment with the man for the next morning to follow the training. Chapter 1. The next day, at 6 a.m., at the appointed place, Mark is wearing jogging clothes, as the boxer asked him to. A man in his 20s arrives. He is heavily built, like a heavyweight, with his 1.90 meters, or at least Mark thinks so. The boxer introduces himself. During this time, Mark learns that the boxer's name is George, that he comes from Guadeloupe, and that he is a professional. He takes him to his training gym where Mark can have fun. Then, as if time is running out, he starts his run, almost surprising Mark, who starts following him, trotting and trying to regulate his breathing. After an hour, Mark joins him at the gym, sweating. The boxer is all smiles, waiting for him while punching a punching bag held by a man who seems frail compared to George. The room, of good size, with its large mirror at the back, has as its most remarkable element a ring in the middle. Mark notes that the room seems a bit empty. There are only two or three boxers of various builds, as well as a few guys who are watching. George takes him out of his observations to introduce him to his trainer. Mark takes the opportunity to question the trainer, who replies, "Here, we're not here to chat, but to train." "So, get to work," he says, looking him up and down. He turns around and calls a guy in a sweatsuit named Samir and tells him, "Take care of the journalist with a light training, let's say level 2. "Well, I have business with George." The guy introduces himself and asks Mark to follow him. Mark agrees. After all, he wanted to know how a boxer trains. He's going to find out. Samir takes him to a corner of the room where used boxing equipment seems to be piling up. Samir looks at Mark, then takes two red boxing gloves and says, "These should fit you. And since you're a beginner, I'm not putting on the bandages. Your punching power shouldn't hurt you." He starts laughing as he hands him the gloves that Mark puts on. Mark prefers not to get upset. After all, in this environment, everything must be settled in the ring, and he doesn't feel like a champion. Samir then takes what he calls pows, so that Mark can hit them and start learning to hit in different ways, under his direction. After a time that seems like an eternity, sweat is beading on his forehead, thirst is beginning to dry him out, and above all, the gloves weigh on him like weights. Samir tells him that it's good, he can take a little break. Mark takes off his gloves with relief. Samir points to a water dispenser. Mark starts questioning Samir, learning that he was a professional in the bantamweight category. But he didn't make it, so here he is as an assistant trainer. A job that doesn't feed a man, but he accumulates it with another job as a security guard. Samir notifies him that the break is over and that he is now going to do some shadow boxing. Mark finds himself in front of the mirror and there he is, punching into the void, trying to make uppercuts and rights. His posture and shadow boxing movements are corrected by Samir. After a while, another break. Chapter 2. The time has come for Mark to have a little sparring match. Mark finds himself on the ring. The few people around, including George, seem happy. Mark has put on the protective helmet and mouthguard. He launches himself against Samir. He tries to keep his distance with his left, but Samir seems to avoid his punches by magic, moving his head or torso. Mark gets angry and tries to send a right, but again, nothing. Samir then starts giving him little lefts, and Mark closes his eyes in a natural reflex. He backs away, tries to hit again with his left, touching Samir. But the sensation seems terrible to him because of the hardness of his opponent's body. After a few minutes, during which Samir seemed to be playing with Mark like a cat with a mouse, the match finally ends. Mark feels a monstrous fatigue and a terrible frustration in the face of the difference in level with an ex-professional. Yet, everyone congratulates him for being brave. And to congratulate him, George gives him 2 tickets to see him fight the next evening in a small party room. Mark goes home to take a good shower and gets into bed for a nap. The next evening, quite a few people are lined up in front of the room arranged as a boxing ring. The people seem relaxed. Mark is accompanied by Edith. When Samir sees them, he heads towards them to take them to their place, saying to Mark, "I'm in charge of the organization." As the old-timers in the business used to say, a boxer who fails in the ring must be multitasking if he wants to eat. He starts laughing. Mark and Edith are finally seated next to George's girlfriend, a pretty girl named Tulip. She asks them if they are there to see George win his second professional fight, and Mark answers yes. The young Tulip, so happy and proud of her man, tells them about their meeting and her hope of seeing their life become fabulous when George becomes a great champion. Edith, curious, asks her if seeing her man fight doesn't make her a little anxious. Tulip replies no, her man will not lose, she has complete confidence. Chapter 3. The fights on the ring follow one another, the decisions of the referees on the side of the ring are sometimes whistled. The rounds are marked by a pretty girl in a swimsuit holding a sign with a big number and on the other side an advertisement. But the atmosphere is rather friendly, with a few shouts of encouragement and applause at the end of the matches when George's turn finally comes, a speaker that Mark recognizes immediately as being Samir makes an appearance and starts the presentation of the boxers. The atmosphere becomes electric, the match promises to be exciting finally, the presentation is over, and the referee's instructions are given, the fight begins. Mark notices that George's opponent seems very comfortable, sending small touches as if he were testing George's level. Tulip seems tense, twisting the handkerchief she is holding in her hand. The fight on the ring seems to be a round of observation, especially for George's opponent, who seems a bit disconcerted. A bell rings, George can return to his corner. Mark looks and sees the trainer and Samir taking care of George, spreading Vaseline on his face and then giving him water with some advice. The gong sounds, George attacks immediately, and Mark thinks that it's good, George has the upper hand. But looking closer, he sees that George's opponent is holding on without really giving in. Dramatic turn of events, George's opponent sends a left that pushes him back, then follows up with a right that makes a muffled sound. Encouragement erupts in the room. George tries to protect his head, a fatal mistake, a direct hit to the liver forces him to put one knee on the ground. The referee rushes in and begins to count with the public. 1, 2, 3. George gets up with difficulty, the referee seems to be looking to see if he can continue, then it's off again. George tries to hold onto his opponent, in vain. His opponent steps back, then strikes again with small, annoying lefts. George bends slightly to protect his liver, a bad strategy. An uppercut lifts him up, followed by a terrible right that makes him fall backward. The referee counts, George cannot get up. In his eyes, one can read incomprehension, followed by the distress of the defeated fighter. The number 10 ends the fight, as well as the dream of glory and riches. George's corner rushes in to give him first aid. A few minutes later, the winner is declared. George has his head down, defeated. Mark and Edith leave the room, leaving Tulip, who went to join her man, present whatever the outcome, defeat or not, she is there for him. Conclusion. Mark notices Samir in the parking lot. Samir tells him it was a beautiful match, but sad for George. His career will not go any further in boxing. There are obligatory steps to take without stumbling, and there, for a small match, to be knocked out like that. You become irremediably a has-been, it's sad, but that's the business. Hard and cruel, but well, he may have the chance to do a few more small matches, just to put a little money in the pot. All right, I'll let you go. He walks away with a slow step, as if he himself had been on the ring for this sad defeat. Mark joins Edith and goes home, thinking that the fight itself may seem cruel in the ring, but always less so than the price to pay in case of defeat for these hard-working men. Signed, Mark Previn, reader, Ryan, article by David Wurst.